And we're back here on Mining Stock Daily with some market commentary. Happy to be welcomed back by our friend Chris Temple for the first time in 2021. Chris, we started off 2021 with a bang, just insane market moves, literally beginning January 4th, and we continue to move up and up and up until today. We actually saw some decent volatility in the market, with the major indices pulling back a little bit. The NASDAQ was up, I believe, over 1% and basically came back to flat, if not a little bit in the red. All the other major indices, the S&P and the Dow, are in the red today as we continue talking. Even though with this kind of flash moved in the downwards, it did get a little bit of a rebound. But I don't know, a little bit weary here. We're kind of hanging on a cliff.
Well, you know, weary is, I think, a good word for it, Trevor. The market has had this quieter run for the last few months. It's been fueled almost entirely by the Fed pulling out all the stops, enabling all of the carry traders by keeping the dollar fairly depressed, keeping it fairly liquid. That has been a ticking time bomb, which I've been pining over for a few months to no avail, because the dollar continued to go down and most every asset class has gone up, thanks to a great extent to the dollar carry trade. But that is getting pretty worn. You know, at some point, you look at the landscape of things, and as I said when we were talking off mic earlier, you've got two things that you've got to worry about right now if you're still bullish and if you're still heavily long all of the momentum darlings, especially of late. Number one is that dollar carry trade. When everybody's on the same side of the boat, you know, you question how much longer it can go on. The dollar has seemed to be forming a reverse head and shoulders pattern off of its bottom. And if you get about another half or two thirds of a point to the upside on a dollar index with any conviction, you're going to start the dominoes falling. And you'll have a situation where various assets are sold as people have to cover their dollar shorts. That'll cause a vicious circle to come about. And to me, it's not a question of if that happens, it's when it's going to unfold. And I think we've seen a couple of minor shots across the bow recently. And the other thing, frankly, and again, this is talking about pretty much all of the markets, everything that's been on a tear by and large, is at what point do the bulls acknowledge that every real and imagined bullish factor and scenario has been cooked into their thinking, and that now, with these added virus strains, with the new administration, which told us that, unlike the Orange Wonder, they had a plan for getting us over the hump of this virus. Now the president told us that we're going to be dealing with the bad effects of this for several more months, with the possibility that there's not going to be much of a honeymoon politically, and that we're going to bog down in details over first an added stimulus package and then later the far more important green energy and infrastructure packages. You know, at some point, I think that the market has to take cognizance of all of these things and realize that it's gotten way too far ahead of itself.
Yeah, so there was a couple of key takeaways from what you just said there, and, you know, kind of sum it up, and I know I said this probably a couple times even last week here on the podcast, it just kind of feels in general the bullish mood is getting way out ahead of its skis, really could topple over any time. I mean, there was a couple takeaways. I know I saw headlines of President Joe Biden mentioning 600,000 deaths from COVID here in the next couple months, and obviously the rollout of the vaccine is not optimal whatsoever. They're trying to improve it, but it's still just not, you know, there's reason to be skeptical there. I mean, and there's also continued, and you mentioned this back, you know, months prior after President Biden was President-elect Biden, how you mentioned your belief was he would continue to maintain a tough stance on China. And then the going Secretary of State Pompeo, seems like his stance with China is going to continue to be kind of tough in this new administration. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, and that especially, Trevor, is something that I think a lot of people are wrong-footed on already. You know, the emerging markets have had a big rally. China's had a monstrous rally. they have been going even nutser, more nuts. Not nutser is not a word. they've been going more nuts than even the Fed, trying while they can do it to buy all manner of stuff. I mean, 2/3 of all of the net iron ore imports in the world have gone to China recently. So, you know, you look at the copper rally, a lot of different things, even crude oil. But they're now starting to have more lockdowns. They've got new virus strains that they're admitting, which leads to the question, what aren't they admitting? And so I think that the idea that China was going to lead the world out of this, which they've done some, and also that they were going to have easy pickings with good old China Joe in the White House, I think a lot of that's going to be turned on its head. You know, right as he was leaving, among many other things that President Trump did, was actually use the word genocide when it comes to China's treatment of the Uyghur minority in the western part of their country. Guess what we just heard from the Biden administration? They agree with that assessment. And I said before the election that Joe Biden will be no different than former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who I personally was up against back in the 90s fighting on some trade issues for American workers in Washington. And once upon a time, Newt Gingrich was every bit as energetic a water carrier for China, every bit as energetic a politician to sell out U.S. corporations and workers to China, just like Joe Biden was, just like most Democrat and Republican politicians were. But not that long ago, Newt Gingrich wrote a book saying I was wrong, that China is our number one enemy in the world. And guess what? Joe Biden is going to largely adopt that as well. In some ways, he's going to be more efficient and thoughtful about the way he goes about it, not ham-fisted and all over the place like Trump was from time to time, and hopefully get, you know, our quote allies on our side and have a more unified pushback against China, which is already testing him, as we've seen. I mean, there are incursions once again into the South China Sea, the flyover of military aircraft over Taiwan that we've heard about. They're still cracking down on Hong Kong. And this is where some good will come, in my opinion, from the true progressives among the Democrats who came into Congress, because they are not motivated by money and corporate profits, and they're going to be all over the Biden administration making darn sure that they do hold China accountable for their human rights violations and some of these other things.
Well, and on top of that, and we can kind of expand that conversation with the you know, the discussion of Biden being a unifying president. You know, it's other people's words, not mine. But that's really a platform that he has been pushing for. And on the, if you have that unification kind of standpoint, and then expand that to kind of reintroducing a localized supply chain without the help of China, that comes all the way down to, you know, commodities, metals, and obviously mining. Is there an opportunity here? And we started seeing it already, Chris, in 2020. We started seeing this. In fact, the Association for Mineral Exploration BC, in their conference all last week, you know, a localized metal supply chain was a continued theme throughout that conference. I mean, is the links are about to be connected, I feel. We're like on the cusp of making this realize, and where everybody from whatever side of the political spectrum can come in and finally start seeing the dynamics of what that would really mean.
Well, I think we're going to see some of that. I don't have as good an assessment of the first few days of President Biden as you might, because of the way in which he handled the whole Keystone XL pipeline thing. And now there's some issues being taken with him by Canada over broadening that. And what exactly does President Biden mean with his Made in America platform, which, look, nobody argues, and we could talk politics about this all day, about the hypocrisy of going after Trump for being America first, and now Biden, as I said again on this as well, is going to follow through with a lot of the supply chain issues and related things on energy and otherwise that President Trump had already done or started. So we'll see. I mean, generally speaking, it's a good thing. Generally speaking, we need to see this country not only embrace its own, what our priorities are within our own four walls, but more importantly, Trevor, do it in a way that we're not hypocrites as a nation. One of the things that galls me about this whole green energy thing and some of these Hollywood stars and sports stars that are out there and hectoring you and I over using too much fossil fuels while they have enough homes and modes of transportation to burn more fossil fuels than a small town does. Okay, let's see how serious we are about that. Let's see if some of these Democrats, especially, who have been hitting the themes of green energy and so forth, which I'm all for and you're all for, are they willing to have us within our borders where we're able to do it, supply our own raw materials, or are we going to continue to consign little black children in the Congo to working in primitive and life-threatening conditions so that we can feel good about ourselves and not have to watch how the sausage is made, so to speak. So I'm very curious to see what the Biden administration does to support its rhetoric in this area. Do we really believe that we should get behind lithium production in this country, cobalt production, manganese, graphite, all of these different things within our own four walls, uranium, which thankfully you're on that subject already. We've seen a lot of bipartisan support. Let's see. I as you know, when it came to the president that we had for the last 4 years, I'm a scorekeeper. I look at things issue by issue, and I'm optimistic more than not that the Biden administration is going to do a lot of the right things when it comes to green energy and so forth. And I hope I'm right.
I hope they do it strategically, right? Have a better plan of getting to a green energy infrastructure than better than we've had a COVID vaccine rollout. Let's just make
Well, that is true. We need that.
that. You mentioned this green energy, and you did mention a couple of those commodities, uranium and lithium. And I got to ask you, because you've had a couple lithium plays that you've written about in your newsletter to your subscribers that have done really well. Most recently, Piedmont Lithium did really well, and they had since announced that deal with Tesla. Another one you have written about is Frontier Lithium, that has just had extraordinary gains the last few weeks and months. And I don't want to ask you specifically about the companies, but I do want to ask you a little bit about the lithium plays. Now, we talk about maybe the general markets getting out a little ahead of themselves and have been for quite some time now. But in the short-term past, you feel like lithium might be getting a little overbought.
I do generally. I would not say that necessarily of Piedmont and Frontier specifically. Definitely not Frontier, which I'll be shocked if before this year is over, we don't see an event with Frontier as we did with Piedmont a few months back in Tesla. And it's not going to surprise me if this year we move the decimal point one place to the right with Frontier still, even after this move. So I've been imploring my subscribers. I own some of the company myself. I've been imploring them to don't get left behind on this one. If you didn't, if you didn't listen to me last summer when Piedmont was $6 and now it's 50, don't fall asleep on Frontier. But important thing here, and I want to make two quick points. First of all, both of these companies have their lithium, and in Piedmont's case, several other marketable minerals, especially in spodumene deposits. All right. I think, and I alluded to this a minute ago when I was musing about just how much are the Green New Dealers going to embrace big strip mines of big flats out in Nevada, let's say, and other big clay projects and things like this. How much of an eyesore are they going to be willing to tolerate to get lithium that way? This is not a low impact, low small footprint type of mining that we're going to have. So it's especially why I like companies like a Piedmont, like a Frontier, which in relative terms are going to have much smaller footprints at the same time as they have a good, both of them now, good technology for good marketable hydroxide products. And this leads me to a company I just recommended that 2 days after I recommended them, they came out with news that they're acquiring some of the most intriguing hydrogen power technology in the world. And that's an area that I have to confess that I've been late to, is understanding just how much hydrogen, different forms of hydrogen power are going to be meaningful in years to come, and how that has a much lower footprint. So I think that we're still going to see a good future for lithium and the whole electric vehicle supply chain and so forth. But I think that some people have sold hydrogen a bit short. Some of those companies had big runs. They've been pulling back. I would dearly love to see, Trevor, everything that has gone up just because of hype, just because of liquidity with traders on Robinhood or wherever with more money than brains, just chasing anything and everything. I'd love to see everything get whacked by about 20 or 30% between now and, you know, maybe spring or something. And that'll give you good entry positions into multi-year good stocks to buy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you. Some sort of correction to that magnitude is, I think, justified. So, Chris, I want to get your thoughts here on the gold trade, the gold and the gold miners. Gold is really just, it seems like it's its own worst enemy right now. It has a nice, you know, early in the morning, gets up and seems like it's going to have a nice day, but then just kind of sells off and basically flat. But that $1,800, $1,850 level, still very supportive. I mean, you can't really complain at that level. But some of these junior mining, I mean, just the sentiment, you can see it in the charts, just kind of ugly charts. The sentiment's poor. But, you know, it's the contrarian in us is maybe thinking about this is a good time to start loading up.
Well, I don't want to get so enamored with gold that we ignore some of these other things. I mean, you've been following my recommendations. I've had a few scorchers in the recent past that have nothing to do with gold, whether it's Frontier, whether it's a couple of biotech stocks. Anybody not on my mailing list, by the way, go and sign up on my website where it says join mailing list, and you'll get a report on the hottest biotech stock I've got right now. So my favorite saying is that maybe in heaven the streets are paved with gold, but here on earth we use things like asphalt. We use concrete. We use all different kinds of raw materials for all different kinds of needs that mean more to the average person than gold does. So I've got numerous individual stories in the gold space on my list, as you know, because you get my newsletter. But I'm ambivalent near term, quite honestly. For as long as we've seen, and I think the pattern of the last 3 or 4 months is going to continue, for as long as we've seen everything melting up in unison, especially with this idea that we're going to have infrastructure come along, we're going to have more green energy things come along, you've got to be nuts if you would buy gold before you'd buy uranium or before you'd buy some of these other things that are out there. So I do love gold long term. I'm bullish long term. But for the time being, we need to acknowledge, and I've said this before, that the generalist investors out there and the generalist money managers who are looking at the overall landscape of things are going to be a lot more eager to buy a lot of other commodities before they buy gold. Yes, gold will do well long term for the same reasons it's done well since it was demonetized for all practical purposes in 1971. There are more dollars being printed than gold, but it's not always in a straight line. And it's not always, it doesn't always mean that gold will lead other commodities. Ironically, the best thing that can happen for gold now, if all you care about is gold, is for that 30% correction to hit. Because gold, the metal, would go up when everything else corrects, because gold right now is only going to do well in the near term if it was a glaring risk off asset again. Otherwise, it'll be caught up, ultimately with everything else as we see a little bit more inflation come back and things across the board meld up. But I don't see it being a leader, at least not yet.
Well, let's leave it at that, because as you just were speaking, gold was finally back in the green today, while the rest of the major indices are all now back in the red, Chris. except for the dollar. The dollar's up a little.
And if you want to see more green for gold, you want to see more red for the stock market, and you want to see the dollar rally, because if the dollar does rip higher, gold will go with it.
Chris, thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure to reconnect with you in the new year. Look forward to more commentary from you as we progress. But until the next time, my friend, take care of yourself.
You too.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decision.